Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV, the Daily VFN Radio Program. We want to welcome all of our audience, Christian Television Network audience, all around the Gulf Coast, the nation, and the world. Here to encourage you today in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day.
Apparently, I'm backed up into this corner and I'm not allowed to say anything else. Because if I say hello, I get encouraged to say the good day.
Good day. Well, good day. Glad to hear from you. did you let him out the corner there? Did you?
I didn't know he was in a corner.
I didn't know that either. Well, come out the corner, man. Come out and join us.
Hey, good to see you. How's it going?
Fantastic. Beautiful. It's going great. Listen, don't forget that we are two programs back to back. We're going to be talking about some really interesting things. Franklin Graham, son of Reverend Billy Graham, is praying for the next great awakening. And we're going to be sharing about his heart and what he is doing on the evangelistic field as he's getting ready just to believe with so many of us that are believing for a third great awakening. And just asking God, God, would you do it again? We listen, our only hope and the only hope in life, period, but for our country and for the world is Jesus. And we need a move of God that is going to totally transform us. So we've had the privilege of being a part of a move of God like that, a transformational move of God that lasted several years and has still, 20-some-odd years later, still bearing fruit around the nation and the world. And we want to see that happen again. We want to see God pour out his spirit and see waves of young people and all sorts of people really come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're also going to be talking about honor, how honor is the doorway, or dishonor is, you know, but honor is the doorway that gives you access to a relationship with God and with others. And dishonor closes that. And we're living in a society today that there's so much dishonor, and you realize, is that really happening? Yeah, it's happening. It's happening. It's dishonor, but you couldn't really put your finger on it, put a pulse on it. We're going to talk about how we can begin to start bringing honor into our life and become an honorable person, and how that wave can open up our relationship with God and with other people. Because nothing, you know, if you dishonor someone, how can you actually have a relationship with them? It's pretty difficult, you know, but honor opens that door. We're also going to be talking about the greatest spiritual gift that someone could have. It's going to be really exciting. And I know Steve's going to be sharing with us about living a life that glorifies God. But, you know, before he does, Steve, talk to us about what happened with Adele. I know that you had an opportunity to pray for her. What happened?
Well, I was actually in the workplace, and there was a lady that came up to me, and they were actually running late, and they had an appointment where they were supposed to be a little earlier, and the lady was with her daughter, and the daughter obviously had a face of urgency, and she's like, sorry, we're late, we came from a hospital, we're in a different city, we're supposed to go to another hospital, and I look over to my left, and I see a lady, she's probably, I don't know, maybe in her 60s, late 50s, and she was just gasping for air, just had a hard time standing, and her name was Adele. And come to find out that she had an asthma attack.
Wow.
And she wanted to be in a hospital close to where she lived. You know, she wanted to be in a home close to her house, or a hospital close to her house. And she was like, here, you know, we need to go. We have to go to the ER. And the Holy Spirit just said, you need to pray for her. And I said, well, what's going on? And she just told me that she had an attack of asthma. And I just began sharing, you know, recently we shared a praise report of just like, you know, Chris's son, Isaac, how he was in the hospital and we prayed and God just did a miraculous work and what he did in his life. And I shared a quick video with Adele and I was just like, look at what God's done. And we prayed and it was God that responded. It was God that healed. And by faith, God healed Isaac. And as I'm saying this to her, gasping stops. She's like standing, she's looking at me, and I just kept saying to her, I'm like, by faith, Jesus can heal you by faith. And I'm telling her about different encounters that Jesus had in the scriptures and how he was with the lady that was had the issue of blood. He says, daughter, by faith, God can heal you. And I says, Adele, do you believe that Jesus is bigger than asthma? Asthma has to respond to the name of Jesus through his finished work on the cross and the blood. And her daughter was there just watching in awe of, like, as I was talking about what God was doing, it was just like she was healed.
Right.
And I was just like, can I just pray for you that in the name of Jesus that you'd be healed? And I mean, just the labor of her gasping for air. And she's like, I got to sit down. I don't know if I can stand here. But as just talking to her about Jesus, Jesus Christ healed her.
Wow.
And she was just like, I couldn't breathe.
Wow.
5 minutes ago.
Wow.
And it was just the testimonies of God, the glory of God. And it so encouraged me to be able to pray for her.
Wow.
And she left and she was just like, man, I thought I was here just to get something done. But we're just talking about God. I'm like, it's God. Powerful moment, man. Totally powerful.
Wow, that's beautiful. So exciting, because that's what we're called to do. You know, Amen. We're called to step on out. And if there's a need, listen, get in there and pray.
Amen.
You know God. Don't wait for someone else to pray.
Amen.
You walk in there and you pray with faith and watch sick people get well.
Yeah.
I mean, that is such a beautiful thing. I mean, we've seen that from time to time and we're seeing it more and more.
Mm-hmm.
But it just takes someone who is willing, someone who's willing to step on out and begin to start praying for someone in faith.
Amen.
You know, and you say that, I think about, you know, the healing revival movement, you know, in the early 50s, you know, the Voice of Healing, where these evangelists, they were going Oral Roberts, Jack Coe, A.A. Allen, some of these guys, Gordon Lindsay, they were praying and they were praying for the sick, and they were seeing people come out of just wheelchairs, Oral Roberts, I mean, and just tremendous, tremendous miracles. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that they would do is let them get stir their faith up to be healed, and did with the scripture. And so a lot of people didn't realize that a lot of the people that were in those meetings that got miraculously, I mean, just amazingly healed, were actually under a few hours of teaching during that day, and then they would come back that night, you know, for those camp, you know, those type of meetings, revival type meetings. And they were able to receive prayer and just one after one of so many of them. You see crutches and all different things. Maybe we'll have some pictures available for you like this on the torch. But it was a powerful, powerful time. And this is how this spread all across, you know, the country in these tent revivals. And it was just a wonderful time. But faith, you know, faith in God's word and faith that, listen, God still heals today. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're sick in your body. You can pray. And God can heal you. And you can have other people pray. And God can use them. It's just one of the gifts, you know, that God wants to bestow on us. And we're thankful for it. And it's nothing like, you know, you're not a candidate for healing unless you've been sick. You know, so, well, you know, I'm not sure. Well, listen, I know you have a lot of theories. But when you're sick, I haven't seen. And I had the opportunity. You know, it's really interesting how, you know, strong someone can be in their opinion of just whatever doctrine and just all different type of things. But, you know, when you're sick, a lot of those things really fly away. And I've had firsthand experience since I was a chaplain at the LSU Medical Center. And I've had the chance to pray for many, many sick people. And I have very rarely, I don't think I was ever turned down once for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because prayer works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prayer works. We're actually communicating with God, and we're synchronizing, you know, heaven and earth together, and we're praying that God's will be done. Mm-hmm. And sickness has to go in the name of Jesus. Listen, there is no, did you guys know this? I don't know. There is no sickness in heaven. You do understand that. There,
right.
And so, listen, you've heard that before, right? Okay. I just want to make sure.
I read it somewhere.
Okay. Want to make sure that you knew that. And so we don't have to tolerate it. Yeah, you know, things happen and you know, you do get sick. But are you going to stay sick? Are you going to welcome it? And is your first resource to get a bottle of Tylenol or to see a doctor? Because many times people say, well, how come we don't see the miracles, you know, here in the United States that happen, you know, in different parts of the world? And my belief is that, you know, it's because we're so accustomed in the West to go to so many other resources.
Yeah.
And sad to say that God is often the last choice. It's like, oh, yeah, and pray. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
But the first thought is a Tylenol, schedule an appointment with a doctor, you know, all these different things. Mm-hmm. And then it's like an afterthought. Let's pray about that.
Yeah, and it's just encouraging me when I look at that and the testimonies that you're sharing about people just sharing who Jesus is and the miraculous healings. And it always just takes me to that moment of just, you know, sick people have that hunger because they have a desperation.
Yeah.
And when you have that message of healing of the author of life, they're going to respond. And it always just like encourages me to stir your faith when you look in the book of Acts and how Peter responded to the lame man, and a whole city was changed because of their boldness and their stand for Jesus. And it's just like, God wants to use you, and you have that boldness. You have that just faith to believe God. And it's just like when other people look at someone and they see their situation, you know, Jesus sees a son, Jesus sees a daughter, and he sees that miraculous testimony of how people are going to respond to that encounter.
Yeah.
And it's like, believe God, do a miracle in your workplace, in your family, in the grocery store.
Yeah.
And just go where the Holy Spirit has you and just watch what God does, because he's stirring our faith in this time. And it's so encouraging seeing how he's beginning to just move, and it's just beautiful.
Yeah. And really help. And compassion is a key part of it, you know, because if you don't have any empathy or compassion for people that are suffering, especially in their body, you know, you're not gonna pray. You're not gonna step out. I remember being in a Dollar General store or something like that, or a Dollar Tree or something, and I was getting ready to pay the cashier, and I noticed that the woman behind me, the next person in line, had her foot all in a kind of a cast type thing, and it was all bandaged up. And I said, "Oh, you know, I hope you get better, you know." And just my heart went out to her, and she says, "Well, my foot's not gonna get better." She said, "They're gonna cut it off." And I said, "Oh my goodness!" Wow. And so I said, "Wow, I'm praying for you." And then I went into the car, and instantly I just felt the Holy Spirit say, "You need to pray for her. You know, you need to pray for her." So I got out the car, and this time she's in the parking lot, middle of the parking lot. And I just walked up to her and says, "Ma'am, do you mind if I pray for you? I felt God wants me to pray for you." And she said she had groceries. I mean, it was like always at the most, what you would think is the most inconvenient time. All and right. Maybe this lady's going to say, "Sir, do you realize it is hot out of here?"
Right.
You know, all these groceries, all these different things. She, you know what she said? She said, "Yes."
Amen.
She put those groceries down, I mean, like on the ground. She didn't even put them in.
Yeah.
And she said, "Please pray for me." And so I prayed for her. And it was God. It was wonderful. I mean, people were coming by, passing through us, going in the store. And I just prayed that God would heal her in her foot. And I asked her, she had faith, and she did. And I had faith. And said, let's just believe God that God's going to do a miracle in your foot. And you're not going to need to have it, you know, amputated after all.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to step out in faith and minister to people and not wait, not, you know, second guess, not ignore the promptings of the Lord. God's speaking to us all the time. The question is, will we be his vessel?
Obedience.
Yeah. Will we be his vessel and step out? More when we come right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
You have to put your money where your priority is. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller, and that's marriage expert Dr. Gary Chapman, who says that as a couple, if you truly value your relationship, you'll invest the time and money needed to protect and nurture it.
You see, I find couples that are saving their money to build a house or buy a new car or whatever, and by the time they get around to the house or the car, they've lost the marriage. And a house is meaningless without a marriage. So, you make marriage your priority, and then you put your money where your priority is. And you organize your life around that. That means you may sacrifice in some other areas, but we're going to make time for each other.
An important reminder there to talk about and set priorities and invest in the thing that really matters and will last your lifetime, your marriage relationship. Now, for specific ways to have some great date nights and to hear more from Dr. Chapman, stop by FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
I encourage you to live your life with no regrets in regards to God, because we're all going to face the Lord. We're going to say, you know, he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you, what I entrusted to you? And you can actually, on your own, despite everybody else, you can say, you know what, I'm going to live my life with no regrets when it comes to God. I'm just going to do it. And the thing about the difficult thing when you do that, a lot of people don't understand they're going to have regrets. So there's a little conflict sometimes with people who are going to have a lot of regrets. If somebody says, I don't want to have regrets. I want to use this life for God, this moment, this vapor in time. And everybody says, you know, in the end of their life, no matter what they say two things, two simple things. They say, go call the pastor. What's his name again? So they say, right. What's his name? You know, because I want him to pray for me, right? Because the last moment, you know, we get that prayer in. And then they say, I wish I would have done more for my family because I'm about to leave them. And the next regret they have, they say, I wish I would have done more for God because I'm about to see him. Mm-hmm. Think about it. You're about to see God. And the truth is, it might not happen in old age. It could happen today. Are you going to make a choice to say, you know, I want to live my life with no regrets. I want to be able to say, I want to eliminate tomorrow's regrets today by saying, you know what? I'm going to redefine family again and quit making it narcissistic about my biological connectivity and say, the family of God. I want to do for the family of God. God says, he's not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people and continue to help them. This is how we love God. We love each other. And then we stand before God. You know, I poured it all out. There's nothing left. I mean, you know, I worked that one brain cell to death. You know, but it took to anyway. But you, whatever it is,
yeah,
just lay it all out for God. So when you know, when you meet the Lord, I mean, obviously, you know, that is probably stuff we didn't even think about, but whatever we knew to do, we did
right
unto God. And it's like, you know, that's a precious gift. That's a once in a lifetime, eternal lifetime to be able to have, to be able to give. And I could imagine showing up at the throne room of God. I mean, thank God the Lord gave me more life that I was able to start living life without yes. regret. But you could show up and it's like, yeah, you know, I watched cable. I robbed you. I couldn't tithe. But I did say a prayer. And are we in? I mean, right. what are you going to say, right? Right,
exactly.
What are you going to say at a moment like that? I encourage you to get involved with what God is doing today. Maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Join in someone who takes walking with God eternally serious.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner, you click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news, you need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married, or why you're going to need to stay married, or why you need to have family, or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're just talking about healing and stepping out and obeying God and trusting God, you know, for a touch. You know, there's so many people today that because of healthcare or the lack thereof, they're not able to afford their medicines. They're not able to, you know, get, you know, the things that they think that they need. And a lot of people are saying, listen, Maybe we need to go back to what God's already taught us in his word, that we need to pray for healing. He mm-hmm. is our healer, and he is the great physician. And we had the opportunity to pray for a young man who had a cyst on his throat. The young man, he was actually a baby. How old is Isaac? He's three years old, and it was in his throat. And so there was a part of this that was really very a difficult surgery. In fact, that the doctors had to study for hours on how they were going to do this. It was supposed to be a very long, mm-hmm. Procedure. And we just sought God.
Amen.
We just sought God and prayed and
prayed
said
for the doctors too.
Yeah, prayed for the doctors that they would be able to do their surgery quickly, mm-hmm. and that it'd be less than what they were saying it was going to be, the conditions and all those different things. And God moved in an awesome, awesome way.
Yes,
in fact,
did.
Do we have the story? Do we have that video?
Yeah, we actually have a clip of that.
I want you to watch his testimony as you hear about what God did in Isaac's life.
So, what's the awesome praise report, Chris?
Well, the awesome praise report is God is good. We just got out of surgery with Isaac not 2 hours ago. He had to have a cyst removed from his throat, which they talked about that it was going to be this real, kind of bad thing, that it's going to be a real in-depth surgery. And he's supposed to be in surgery for over 2 hours, and he's going to be in the hospital overnight. And well, as you see right here, we're 2 hours after surgery, and he is normal. It's like he hasn't even gone to surgery at all.
What do the doctors say that don't do what?
Well, the doctor said that he's not going to be able to walk around. He's going to be real unsturdy. Keep an eye on him, and he's running around out here feeding the fish. He's been looking forward to feeding the fish all week, and feeding the ducks and the turtles, and he's having a blast. 2 hours after surgery, he was only in surgery for, I think it was less than an hour, and they said it was going to be over 2 hours, and it was God. I just want to thank everybody out there who was praying for him. We were just getting notifications left and right, and I just want to thank everybody for praying and just for loving on us. And as you see, he's gone. It's answered prayer. Look at him. Beautiful. Look at this.
It's a miracle, man. God does miracles.
God does miracles.
They told him that he wouldn't be sturdy.
Nope.
He wouldn't be sturdy.
Don't let him sit in the chair by himself.
Praise God.
Wow. Absolutely awesome. Listen, prayer.
Amen.
Prayer, prayer, prayer. And it's prayer to God.
Yeah.
Not just empty prayer, but it's praying to God and seeing the hand of God work. And, you see little Isaac. I mean, he was supposed to be way longer. He was supposed mm-hmm. to spend the night there. He was uh-huh. supposed to, follow this
right.
trach all the way, And it was nothing compared to what, In fact, the report was that when they went to speak to doctors, they said, listen, we prayed for you. The doctors were told, we prayed for you all night.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor said, it worked.
Amen.
It worked because it was a whole lot less than what the reports showed us.
Mm-hmm.
We were prepared to be here for the long haul. And this is something that God can do and has done and will continue to do.
Yeah, and the powerful thing, you think about that encounter to share with someone what God has done in someone else's life, in your life, it raises their faith. It stirs their faith to say, I believe that God can do the same thing in my life or whatever situation they're at. Like you're saying, the lady with the foot, it's just like, I believe that God can do a miracle in my life. And I encourage you, it's just like, if you've got a testimony, if you've got a story that God has done a miracle in your life, tell people, because they probably, someone has that same need in their life and they're going to have the faith to look to God. And you never know what God can do in that situation, but have the faith to share and say, how can I pray for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we want to encourage you, pray, pray, pray,
Amen.
Pray,
Amen.
And believe God to do great things in your life and the life of others. And don't only pray, but look as a believer to be an answer to prayer. Oftentimes we're good for asking for prayer,
mm-hmm, right?
And God help me. But are we good at the same time of saying, Lord, I want to be an answer to prayer for somebody today. I want you to use me today. And guess what? When God speaks to you and tells you that one right there, pray, just obey him and do it and watch what he's going to do. That's one of the things I love about Evan Roberts, and we've spoken about him and the great work he, you know, he did during the Welsh Revival. But he, one of his 4 points was to obey the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Is his every word, to listen to everything the Holy Spirit tells him and to do it. And just saw that God was the one who was in control. God really doesn't need us. We're just kind of the tool, you know, in his hand. And let God do what he wants to do and get out of his way.
Amen.
So pretty awesome. When we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcast.
We want to give a big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors and partners that are out there.
Yes.
If you haven't yet visited our sponsors, you see them come up on television, you hear them on the radio, but you also can see them at VFNTV.com by clicking on sponsors. Understand it's our sponsors and our partners who stand with us to make this available. If you want to become a sponsor or if you want to become a partner, you can do that by going to VFNTV.com and click on partner or sponsor. And what we want to do, if your business is standing for God, if you're standing for God, we want people to know you're standing for God and country in Israel. Believe me, this is a time that on the side of history, because a lot of people, this is what a lot of people have been saying. You know, somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody needs to do something about this. And the question is, okay, so what are you going to do? This is what you can do. A simple, simple thing. If you partner with us, we'll partner with you. And we'll partner together for God and country in that order. And for Israel, this is a time to stand. This is time for us to stand and say, you know what? Yes, this is one nation under God. Yes, it is God that determines whether a nation rises or falls. And yes, we have some bumps in the road and some terrible parts of our history, but it's God that sustained us this far. And if we turn back to him like the first and the second great awakening, he can give us another. And then we understand the reason why we have America is because of God. And so if we put that in the right order, then we have an America. And finally, understanding, you know, I'm going to stand for Israel. If the whole world turns again, I'm not going to be silent. And you can simply do that by saying, you know what? I want everybody to know that by me becoming a sponsor. And it makes me think of several sponsors right up front that are doing that, such as Mark Downey and Mark Downey's team. When you think about that, just he's a great man, runs a great business, provides realtor needs of rental or purchasing or selling, but he's bold for God.
Mm.
He's bold for God. And there's so many of them out there that are standing with us, and we thank you. And you need to join them because we have a world and definitely a nation that we want to tell about God in the country and Israel in that order.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And you know what? We want to talk about honor. You know, how honor is the access and the doorway to a relationship with God and a relationship with others. And I think that many times, you know, we can be guilty of defaulting into a daily routine, a daily grind, if you will,
mm-hmm.
you know, go to work, take the kids, do what you do every single day, that you don't get a chance to recognize really the world around you. Like, what is happening in the world? What's happening in my society? What's happening in my country? What's happening in my own community? Like, mm-hmm. what's going on? And it seems like so many people today have tunnel vision,
yeah.
or they have digital vision. They're on their digital devices the entire time.
Right, their head's always down looking at their stuff.
Yeah, and just there's no consciousness of what's happening, mm-hmm. what's happening around them, because they're so much in, you know, into whatever they're doing. And it's a lot like business, you know. There's a business principle, you know. You're when someone has a business, you have a lot of time that you work in the business, but then there's time that you have to work on the business. And so many times businesses fail because, you know, business owners so caught up in the daily grind. You gotta open the doors, you gotta get the product out, you gotta make sure schedules and payroll and all those different things that have to happen uh-huh. for the doors to be open. Mm-hmm. And by the time you get home, the last thing they want to do is work on the business. Yeah. But if you don't work on the business, you're not going to have a business to work in. You know what I mean? And so you have to work on it. There's time of planning. There's time of preparation. There's time of thinking and strategizing and really praying. If you're a Christian, you want to pray over your business mm-hmm. that God would bless it. But it takes time to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, weren't you told something one time?
I had a word of knowledge given to me. I'll be a little transparent.
Oh, please. open up.
I had a business many years ago, and, you know, God blessed it and everything. But I was given this word that I was told, if you don't market your business, you're not going to have a business to market.
Mm. If you don't market.
If I don't market it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was very content on just building the widgets, you know, just, right. you know, building the stuff. You know, 'cause I had a fabrication company, and I just... And that's what I like to do. I mean, yeah. that was my thing.
But you're good at it.
Yeah.
Very good at it.
You know, that's what I wanted to do. I didn't want to go talk to people and like present my product, present my talent, present,
advertise,
you know, a need,
right,
you know, a possible right. need to these right. customers, you know. I was expecting they'll just come to me.
Oh, yeah.
I have faith. They'll just walk in my door.
I don't have to tell them, advertise. Yeah, I don't know. No.
Of course, I did spend a fortune on advertising. But anyway, now I finally had to actually go out and talk to folks. And, you know, broke a lot of mindsets, a lot of fears, and, but yeah.
And it was
yeah.
great because when you,
it was good.
Yeah, because when you advertise in your market, you actually have business that's coming in, yeah. you know, you yeah. can actually have something to work
and it
in.
Worked. And, I mean, and I got some business out of that.
You want your business yeah. to grow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, but perfect example, you can be so much into what you're doing that you have no idea. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a second.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose the very thing that I enjoy working in because I'm not marketing. I'm not letting people know about it. Well, you know, the Bible says that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways. Mm-hmm. We evaluate, you think about how the day went, interactions, you know, your relationship with God. You know, is there any, God, search my heart. Is there anything that, you know, didn't go right today? Is there something, you have a check in my heart about anything? Because you want to live open before the Lord. You don't mm-hmm. want any hindrances or a cloud to be there, unforgiveness towards anyone or anything. Mm-hmm. And so you begin to look at this stuff. But it's important not only to evaluate your life and to think about what's happening, you know, in your own personal life, but it's important to evaluate and think about what's happening in the country that you live in, mm-hmm. in the world, in the community, in your own neighborhood. I mean, when you drive by a neighbor's and you drive by, you know, and you don't even know what's happening. Mm-hmm. And so we become so disengaged, if you will. And then there's even, you know, just let the government, you hear that, let the government handle it. Well, hello, there's only, what, 535 people in Washington that represent, they can't do everything. Mm-mm. And there are elected officials, but we need to get involved. But why am I saying that? You know, because you look around and what you're seeing today is a tremendous amount of dishonor.
Yeah.
I mean, you like, obviously there's so many things that we can pause and we can meditate and look at, right? And God will show us. But if a momentary pause, a momentary stop will show us that there's so much dishonor in the land. And oftentimes you just don't think about, well, dishonor is not something that would really come to my mind. But when you think about the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. I mean, four of the Ten Commandments relate to God. The other six relate to others. Mm-hmm. Every disobedience of every sin results in a sin of dishonor. Mm. You're either dishonoring God or you're dishonoring another person.
That's wow. right.
And so you look at the things that are happening, you say, well, okay, what's happening? You look at the culture and the environment. You look at how media has really influenced our society. TVs, movies, music, social media, internet, digital, you know, mm-hmm. and it's crazy. But, you know, right now we're believing for that mountain. We're believing for that mm-hmm. media mountain that puts the Lord and his kingdom back on top so that we can have the influence for God. God can have the influence in society and bring honor back. Well, you say, well, you know, does that happen? Well, listen, according to a report, a statistic report from the Kaiser Family Foundation, today's teens, they spend more than 7.5 hours a day consuming media, watching TV, listening to music, surfing the web,
wow.
social networking, playing video games. Think about that.
Wow.
Think about that. 7.5 hours a day.
Wow.
And so the question is, like, how much of those 7.5 hours do you think across all those platforms is time that they're viewing content that views God versus content that dishonors God?
Mm-hmm.
And so we so many times are not aware that we're living in an environment that is so dishonoring to the ways of God, and we've just taken it as commonplace. Well, that's just the way it is. Well, does it have to be?
Right.
Do we have to live in a place and just settle for it? That's mm-hmm. that's what they do. They just dishonor God. Yeah. You know, and then you become okay with it, and how it infiltrates into your home, and you start saying, wait a second. That's not honoring. Mm-hmm. That's not, we don't do that here. Mm-hmm, what is that? Where did you? And you'll be amazed at how much television, TV, music, all the stuff on the internet affects, especially children in the home. Well, they'll start mimicking and doing things in a home and said, wait a second, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
And but you have it piped into your home.
Yeah.
And so you look at all these different ways. I mean, and God's dishonored. Think about this. His word is dishonored. His ways are dishonored. What he has instituted is dishonored. How he feels about marriage, how he feels about parents, authorities. And you see this in the culture today. You see this in music. Listen, life itself, human life is dishonored. When you think about 1 million children and women that are sold in human trafficking around the world, that's not honoring God. That's not honoring a human life. When you think about 50-plus million abortions since 1973, Roe versus Wade, that made abortions legal, which is actually killing a baby legal, that's not honoring. Mm. That's not honoring life itself. And so we have this culture and this place where, you know, full of dishonor. But as believers, as Christians, God's called us to be a people of honor. He's called us to be a people that have high esteem. That's what honor means, to have high esteem, respect, and that's what he wants as part of our lives. But the question is, how are we going to be engaged? How are we going to, you know, step in and say, okay, God, you know, I am going to live honorable. And you continue to see the impact.
Mm-hmm.
He says, listen, it's time for believers to step into that space and be able to do something and say, you know, I want to be part of the shift that's moving in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. I don't want to tolerate dishonor in the world. But then you start looking about it like, okay, how do I need to bring honor back in my own life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I think about those transitions in me. It's just like you're saying, you can get so caught up in the grind and doing things and get focused on all of the entrustments, all the responsibilities that you're doing. And all of a sudden it's just like, I totally missed that person that was right next to me, or I totally, you know, did not pay attention to the conversation. But, you know, the possibilities are endless. But I think about it, it's just like you're saying, how do I get honor back in my life? How do I get concerned about other people? And it comes from when we spend time with God, when we have that love, when God pours into us and we spend time mm-hmm. with him, we have that concern. Mm-hmm. We have his love to want to love other people. And it's just like, we need to spend time with God to have that love, to have that empathy, to get out of our own situation and our own just intensity.
That's exactly right. Because the way we affect society
mm-hmm.
Is maybe first by dealing with our own honor or dishonor.
Yeah. I mean, how are we honoring God ourselves?
Yeah, because that stuff is happening in the world. Before we worry about someone, the speck in someone else's eye, we as an individual need to start, and as believers, as Christians, look at the plank and the specks that are in our own eye. Where is the honor in our own life? When you think about that, only 3%, according to George Barna, of believers are actually honoring God with their tithe and their offering, right, wouldn't you say that that's a gross amount of dishonor? And what it's saying is that, God, I'm self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. I was the one that got this job. I'm the one that's able to keep this job. And it's my intellect. And so, you know, my, me, mm-hmm. me.
Yeah.
And God's word clearly tells us it's God who's the one that gives us the ability to gather wealth.
Mm-hmm.
God is the one who brought you into that place and gave you the opportunity to have that workplace or that home mm-hmm. or whatever you have. But where's his honor? Mm-hmm. And in fact, Malachi says, if I am your father, then where is my honor?
Yeah.
And this is something that we have lost in this generation. We have lost honor. We have lost holding God and others in a high respect and esteem. There used to be a time where even someone of an older age can walk into a place and you would see people just straighten up and you know, position themselves in a way that respects the person, the elderly person maybe that walk in, or a time where there was a woman or a child in front, they would curb themselves. Even if they weren't living a certain way, they will curb themselves because they recognize that, hey, even though I may not do this, is not an honorable thing to do in front of somebody else, children, you know, women, what have you.
You know, I think about like what you're saying. It's just like dishonoring has become so prevalent in our society that when you make just a simple choice to honor someone, it stands out so much that people respond. You're like, wow, I just saw honor. And that's how powerful it is because, you know, it's from God.
Yeah.
God honors. And it's just like when we respond to his creation, I mean, you think about it, we're surrounded by millions of people that are made in the image and likeness of God. And when we honor them, it so stands out. And it's just like, that's how prevalent dishonor is that when you make a simple act of honor, it causes people to look and be like, wow, I haven't seen it. That's really old fashioned.
Yeah.
It's like, no, that's just what God says to do.
Yeah. And it's a doorway. See, the blessing of honor is relationship. It's a doorway to access with God because the ultimate, you know, way you actually show honor really is by loving God. In fact, you know, Matthew 22 tells us that one of the disciples asked Jesus, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." And so these two right here, you have the whole Ten Commandments locked up right here by loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving God, right?
Yeah.
And loving others. And so when we love God, that's how we honor God. And when we're loving God, what are we doing? We're really obeying him.
Right.
That's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're obeying him. That's God's love language. You hear people talk about different love languages. You want to show God that you love him? Yeah, you can sing a song. Yeah, you can pray. Yeah, you can tell him, you know. But you really want to show him you love him? You obey him.
Mm-hmm.
Because obedience shows that he has your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not giving him lip service, but that you're giving him, you know, your actual life. You're giving him action. And so, you know, the other thing is how we treat others is a clear way, too, that we can honor and love God. You know, so many times families are facing so many issues in their life, whether it's, you know, children issues or divorce issues. But you look back, you know, what's happening? If you take peel back the shingles a little bit and look inside, you're realizing that children are dishonoring parents.
Mm-hmm.
Parents are dishonoring children. You know, husbands are dishonoring wives. Wives are dishonoring their husbands. They're all out of alignment. And because there's no esteem. If you honored them, you wouldn't say that.
Right.
If you honored them, you wouldn't do that. And so you almost have to reposition and bring everyone back and say, okay, let's get back here to a focus. You know what I'm saying? Let's get back here. And it's you have to teach people honor.
Yeah.
You have to teach them because dishonor, amazingly, you know, people get.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the honoring part, which is treating someone in a high respect. Everyone wants to be treated that way.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing how that works?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But are they willing to do that for others?
Yeah.
You know, Colossians tells us, that, you know, wives submit to your husbands as fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, should not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases God. And fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. I mean, this is like, you know, some things to do in the family. These are some things that God's word instructs us. And he goes on to say, slaves, obey your earthly masters and everything. And do it not only when their eye is on you or to curry their favor, but with sincerity. And this, get this, he says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. Think about that. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. We're able to treat people horizontally better with honor when we understand that whether we're treating someone else or we're treating, it's how we treat God.
Right.
And we can begin to start saying, you know what? I want to be an honorable person. I want that to be a fruit in my life. I want to begin to honor God in all of my ways. We can honor God with our bodies, but what God tells us, we honor God with our tithes. We honor God with giving him our whole life. And we honor God by how we treat other people.
Amen.
And if we sow seeds of honor, then we can begin to have access and doorway, you know, a doorway to have fellowship with God. Because let me tell you, you obey God, that opens the door even more. I mean, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. But there's something intimate that occurs when you just obey God. Since you're a son, you're a daughter, you're growing in the faith. What happens when you express honor to another person? Again, it opens that access to have relationship with them. And what would happen if we started having a society that turned the tide and said, listen, that's the problem with what you're seeing in the country. It's there's no respect for God. But I believe that if we start in our own, right, in our own lives, in our own families, in our own, you know, communities, we will eventually affect the rest of the world. And it all starts with honor. Who do you honor? More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
My name is Rodney Hart Brown, and I'm inviting you to come to celebrate America, held at the Daughters of the American Revolution Constitution Hall for the first 3 weeks in July. Celebrate America is going to be a spiritual invasion of a Jesus kind. Your nation is counting on you. The only hope for America is another great spiritual awakening. Celebrate America is July the 1st through the 19th, nightly meeting at 7 p.m., and then mass evangelism in the mornings on the streets. Enlist today for free at CelebrateAmericaDC.com. CelebrateAmericaDC.com.
The Orange.
BRSM.
BRSM. Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Ministry. Where they wear polyester slacks.
Sure did.
Did you now?
I guess.
Still do.
So what's happening?
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Brown, yeah. Michael Brown, he has... put this article out there in Charisma Magazine, and it's the anointing. It transferred.
I know, isn't that amazing? It never happened until it happened.
Until, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that contribution.
Yeah, not a problem. Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies. Mental tar babies.
Thank you. Anyhow, he talks about these 10 quotes that really have helped to shape his life and those that he's committed to memory. And
his mustache. He has a big, huge mustache.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I wanted to share.
We're just
with
blowing
you.
Your mind. Can we? Can, it's like
Till.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And didn't see the connection, but okay.
Okay, right. I forgot you were his student. Yeah. So I know you probably think differently in the context.
It was Hagar.
Of that.
Remember?
It was Hagar. No. Didn't she come from the anyway?
Anyway. Go ahead.
Okay. So back to all time favorite quotes. I can't even say the
same. Dr. Brown, we're I did sorry, not Mr. say that. Dr. Brown, I did not say that. You call it croaks?
Quotes.
Croaks.
Quotes.
It's not, well, you know, croakers.
quotes.
Yeah, okay. Quoters, not croakers.
Ready?
Got it.
Okay, we're here. All right. VFN Radio, we're here. Okay.
Yeah, is it hot or is it just
it's just croaks? You. So, the number one.
What are we talking about
quote,
again?
Very serious quote, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
very
my goodness.
Serious quote.
Very Let's serious get in the serious quote. Mode.
Yeah. I think
Ian,
so.
We are paying attention right now. Man, this is serious.
Thank you, Ian.
Yeah, okay.
So.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. And croaks, how about that?
Yeah.
We were talking about it in a previous, before we went to the break. We were talking about honor and the importance of it and the prevalence of dishonor in our nation and our communities and how that is permeating, you know, has permeated every place that you can imagine and how we, you know, great, you know, okay, we've seen how it's what's happening in society. But first we start taking specks and wood planks out of people's else's eye in the world as believers, Christians.
Yeah.
We have to look for any place of dishonor in our own life. I mean, you were saying something before, during the break that I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, before I came to know God, I mean, it was the enemy has so perverted and twisted that whole concept. Mm-hmm. It's just the opposite. You know, anything God says or does, Satan's going to kind of try to put a counterfeit or totally twist it.
Right.
And you hear all the time is it's like, you know, you're not going to diss me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Or, you know, if you want respect, you're going to respect me.
Right.
You know,
first.
Yeah. You know, I have nothing to do with it, you know. And that's kind of how I was for many years before I knew God. I was like, here, mess with me, I'm on you like white on rice.
We are so grateful that God got a hold of him. Yes,
that's very
so
important.
Grateful.
But yeah, that's, yeah.
I mean, you think about it too. It's just like, I've heard so many people when they're describing other people, it's like, he's a real nice guy, but don't get on his bad side. Don't cross him.
And that's is that what they say about Steve?
Well, I mean, you hear that so much, and just like what you're saying, Pat, it's just like the script has been flipped. The script has been flipped, like you're saying. It's just been twisted because it's just like we focus so much on, okay, well, how did that person treat me? It's just like, did you see how that person dishonored me? And it's just all the things, and it's just like, well, the other way. It's just like, okay, tell me how you're honoring others. And it gets back to what you're saying, John. It's just, we have to love others the way we want to be loved. How do we love ourselves? Okay, we'll take that and then apply that to others. And it's so foreign because there's such a lack.
Yeah.
Because everything is in abundance of our culture of dishonor. And even dishonoring is heightened and elevated that it's almost like we don't know how to speak honor. Like, what does honor mean? How do I honor somebody?
There's such a huge disconnect because... Yeah. The first step to honor really is humility, and you're living in such a me-centered culture that's all about glorifying me. It doesn't even think twice, nearly. It's not even on the grid. Others don't even cross their mind. I mean, really,
there's no room because they're so full of themselves. They got no room for nobody else.
It's just you know what I'm saying? It's just a self-focused thing, and it's like, you know, when I was a child, I, you know, spoke as a child. I put childish things away. You know, it's like, hey, come on, it's time to grow in the things of God and to say, you know what, I want to get outside of myself and treat others better. I'm going to treat God better. Think about it. How do you treat God? How do you treat God? You know, it come to a point where people take, you know, you think advantage or liberties, you know, you imagine that someone just saying, well, that's just Pat. He wouldn't mind, and just keep taking advantage of him over and over and over. It's like, you wouldn't feel good if people just took advantage of that relationship.
Yeah,
and oftentimes I think believers can be guilty of taking advantage of a relationship with God. He's so merciful. He was like, well, listen, because he is merciful, maybe we should respond in that way. But, you know, you look at honor, we have to reintroduce that into the culture. We have to reintroduce it into, you know, so many people's lives and start saying, okay, you know, the thing with respect is this. I'm going to work hard. This is the attitude. I'm going to work hard to earn others' respect, but I'm going to give everyone respect. I'm going to work hard to earn it for myself, but I'm automatically going to give it. And, you know, that could be a good model to start, you know, approaching, because like you said earlier, Pat, if you're waiting for someone to honor you before you honor them,
might be waiting a long time.
Yeah, exactly. A long time. And just be honorable.
And that's the thing. It's just like we have to make that choice of just saying, regardless of how they respond to us, we honor, we respect. That's right. Because, you know, Jesus says specifically, it's just like, okay, if you love the people that love you, even the pagans are doing that.
Yeah.
You got to love your enemies. And it's just like, that's the greatest. That was a huge paradigm shift for me. It's like, I was praying for God, help me to love, help me to love, help me to love. And it was just like all of these difficult moments and difficult people. And it's just like, what is going on? It's just like, oh, that was an answer to prayer.
Right.
It's just like, God would bring me to those people that are difficult to love. And it's just like, that's when
that's how you do it.
Love is the loudest and the purest is like, even when we get nothing back, we're going to say, you know what? I'm going to love you in this moment.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what Jesus did to us. Even when we were still sinners, God loved us regardless of how we treat him.
Think about the honor that God gives us as an individual, as a human being.
Yeah.
He gives you the greatest honor of freedom and of choice. I mean, he honors you. He honors the fact that you can come to a decision to choose him or not to choose him.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that. And so when we look at that, it's like if God himself honors other human honors human beings, right, then we need to honor them and honor their choices. I mean, God will honor your choice. He's not going to make you serve him. He won't make you serve him. And so we need to not only honor people, but honor their choices and the decisions they make and allow them to go through the process of finding God, of going through mistakes and finding their way through. I mean, because you can help people and you can educate them and you can share with them and you can pray with them. But ultimately, every person has to make their own decision and their own choices. And that's the thing about life. I mean, if you don't, oftentimes the things that are happening in your life is the harvest of the choices that you have sown and you've made.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't like those choices, if you don't like the harvest, rather, that you're reaping, then you can actually begin to start changing the seeds of decisions and choices that, you know, you're choosing from and saying, I want to make right decisions because I want to see a better harvest in my life. But it always boils down to, show me who do you honor?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because think about it. You're honoring somebody. The question is, who are you honoring?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not honoring God and you're not honoring others, more than likely, you're honoring yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it makes me think about, too, the importance of having other people in your life that are gonna sit you down and say, you know, hey, do you remember what happened here? You know, was there anything? You know, I think about those moments that God's shown me. It's just like when we spend time with God, God's going to reveal who we are. And I think about, you know, people can relate to a blind spot on a car. You know, you're driving and there's that certain area outside of your rearview mirrors if you have a car that you can't see. And there's areas in our lives that we can't see. And it takes God speaking to us. It takes those people that God has placed in our lives to sit us down and just say, hey, you know, did you see what happened here? Because I know there's moments in my life when I don't see it. And I'm so grateful for those moments when people show me, it's just like, okay, did you see? I mean, you may not have intended to do this. Did you mean to do this? And I was just like, oh my goodness. And it takes that softened heart to not only be able to receive it, but then say, you know what? Thank you. I did not intend that. I want to honor you. And please forgive me for that.
Yeah. That's beautiful because when we're able to receive like that, when you're teachable, you're reachable, you know, and it's like, okay, great. You know, I can do that. We need to get back to honoring parents.
Yeah.
You know, parents have been so dishonored, honoring the fathers. If you have a father in your life, honor him. If he's not in your life, honor him. You know, there's been so many seeds of dishonor sown and that breaks relationship. Now you see why the family's under attack. Listen, God's called us to live an honorable life. We need all the grace of God that, you know, more grace, right? More Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But we can pray, ask the Lord, make me a man of integrity. Make me a woman of integrity. Make me a man and a woman of honor and help me to honor you, God, with my life. Help me to honor others and help me to change my world and society I live in and saying, you know what? We're going to turn the tide. This is going to be a place that honors God. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.